In 2015, authorities launched a global manhunt for an Australian national accused of filming one of the most disturbing videos ever found on the dark web. It was a four-part film called Daisy's Destruction that showed three girls being subjected to all manner of brutal torture and sexual abuse, footage that horrified even admitted pedophiles and the most seasoned child pornography investigators. You're listening to Stories After Dark, a Philippine true crime and mystery podcast powered by Anchor and released exclusively on Spotify with new episodes out every week. This is the story of Peter Scully, who in 2011 fled to the Philippines, where he built a child sex ring and porn network that involved girls as young as 18 months old. Listener discretion is advised due to the graphic nature of this story. Peter Gerard Scully was born on January 13, 1963 in Melbourne, Australia. He lived with his wife and two children in a Melbourne suburb called Narre Warren, which lies a few kilometers away from the city's central business district. Scully seemed to have led a run-of-the-mill suburban lifestyle, but he was anything but average. His neighbors and business associates perceived him as dodgy, with one even claiming that he was only driven by one thing: money. In the early 2000s, Scully became the subject of adverse findings by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, or ASIC, and Consumer Affairs Victoria. He was accused of participating in a real estate scheme that targeted homebuyers not qualified for loans due to issues with their credit histories. This brush against the law wasn't enough to scare Scully into going with more legitimate business ventures. In 2009, he was once again investigated for masterminding a financial fraud scheme that ultimately cost 20 investors a total of approximately 2.68 million Australian dollars, or around 962 million pesos in today's money. The accusations against him were so severe that Australian Supreme Court Justice Kim Hargrave, who handled the case, publicly stated that Scully seemed more than willing to, quote, push the boundaries of commercial morality, end quote. Scully's business ventures, though, didn't just involve defrauding people of their money. At around the same time, he pursued a teenage girl from Malaysia named Ling and began pimping her out at sex parties hosted in the suburbs. While escorting or sex work and self-employed operators of such activities are both legal in Australia, Scully was never given a license to operate his service. Nonetheless, he was very active in putting Ling's services up for sale online, with the media unearthing dozens of online forum posts where anonymous users talked about their experiences of using her. In one post, the user wrote that, quote, "Anything goes for this girl for the right price," end quote. Nothing more is known about Ling and what became of her, but one of Scully's former business associates claimed that she was treated badly to the point of abuse. During one instance, he recalled that Scully, in a fit of anger, locked out a naked Ling from a residence they shared in North Melbourne. Distressed, the teenager was forced to walk to his office in the nude just to pick up a change of clothes. At this point, Scully had never been charged with child sex crimes in Australia, despite numerous former associates being aware of his sordid sexual history. The investigation into his fraudulent activities, however, went on for 2 years, and in 2012, Scully and his business partner, who can't be legally named, were charged with 117 fraud and deception offenses. Unfortunately, nothing came out of these charges because Scully had already fled Australia in 2011, and the place he chose to escape to and continue his criminal activities in was the Philippines. Scully fled to Cagayan de Oro, the capital city of the province of Misamis Oriental in northern Mindanao. There, he set up a production company called No Limits Fun, which he operated alongside two Filipino business partners, 18-year-old Carmi Ann Alvarez and 19-year-old Lizelle Margallo. Alvarez and Margallo had been living on the streets when Scully took them in. He treated them both like his girlfriends, but also as his personal sex slaves, while at the same time being pimped out to other men, just like with Ling, and these men would often keep Alvarez and Margallo for days at a time before returning them to Scully. Despite this kind of treatment, both Alvarez and Margallo wholeheartedly trusted Scully and worked with him on his production company. In 2014, Scully told Alvarez that he wanted to adopt some children who, like she did before, might need some help. Alvarez tried to talk Scully out of it, even suggesting that she could get her own sister to live with them instead, but according to Scully, he wanted more children to bring up the way he raised Alvarez and Margallo. All three of them sought out other kids and lured them with a hot meal at a restaurant before taking them back to Scully's rented house in the western part of Cagayan de Oro. Unlike with Alvarez and Margallo, however, Scully had much more sinister plans with these other children. The girls they picked out were between the ages of 9 and 12, vulnerable orphans and street children, targeted because the trio knew that their disappearance would cause little to no concern to those around them. Scully himself even promised a few parents a better life and education for their children should they agree to let him take them. Once at Scully's home, the new girls would be brought upstairs to the dungeon, forced to strip naked, and perform all kinds of sexual acts on each other, on Alvarez and Margallo, and on Scully. They were filmed the entire time, with the videos later posted on the dark web for international clients, mostly from Germany, Brazil, and the United States. For the privilege of watching this content, these clients would wire huge sums of money to Scully, who used the aliases of Peter Riddell and Peter Russell. To understand the dark web better, it is best to imagine the entirety of the internet as an iceberg. The part that appears above the water is the surface web, which, although huge, makes up only about 0.03% of the internet. It's everything that a Google search can find. The part of the iceberg right underneath the water is the deep web, the largest part of the internet that contains mostly benign sites not searchable by ordinary search engines, such as everyone's password-protected email accounts, certain parts of paid subscription services like Netflix, and websites that can only be accessed through an online form. The deep web and the dark web are usually conflated in public discourse, as, using the iceberg analogy, they're both below the water anyway. But the dark web is the bottommost part of the iceberg, which makes up just a tiny fraction of the entire internet, even smaller than the surface web. Dark websites are characterized by the use of encryption software that allows their users and their locations to be anonymous. The sites number only in the thousands, and are accessible only through specialized software or tools such as Tor and I2P. While the dark web is used for legitimate purposes, like when news organizations communicate with confidential sources, it is mostly known to be a den of illegal activities, such as gambling and selling illegal drugs, firearms, and in Scully's case, child pornography. Some of Scully's videos were distributed on a website called Hurt to the Core, reportedly one of the dark web's most infamous pages, maintained by a young Australian named Matthew David Graham, who went by the online pseudonym of Lux. The content that Graham published on this dark website fell under the category of hurtcore, a disturbing form of pornography that features its subjects in situations involving non-simulated pain and torture. Because of this, Graham was considered one of the world's worst and most prolific online pedophiles. That is, until Scully and his work came into the picture. One of the most notorious videos that Scully ever created, and which Graham, being a child pornography purveyor, acquired for Hurt to the Core, was a four-part film called Daisy's Destruction. Each episode of the film lasted 10 to 15 minutes and showed three children being tortured and sexually abused by a gray-haired man and two female accomplices. The man's face was pixelated, and both his accomplices wore masks to hide their identities. But it has since been revealed that the man in the video was Scully, and the female accomplices were Alvarez and Margallo. Two of the victims were Lisa and Cindy, aged 12 and 11 respectively. The third victim, Daisy, whom the film was named after, was only 18 months old when the footage was shot. In the film's opening text, viewers were invited to, quote, "Come see a child's mental ruin, her innocence lost, used as a tool. She'll learn how to please her mistress, her body will be ravaged, her dignity stolen," end quote. Margallo as the mistress and Scully were then shown torturing Daisy and forcing her to perform a series of sexual acts on both of them. The infant's lips were covered with duct tape to silence her cries. Her private parts were clipped with clothespins and dripped on with hot wax from a melting candle. She was hung upside down and submerged in water, and a lighter, barbed wire, and various sex toys, among other things, were used on her to cause her pain. Daisy's Destruction made its way across the dark web, broadcast privately on a pay-per-view basis, with Scully charging online pedophiles $10,000 or 500,000 pesos. This meant that only a few were able to watch it in its entirety, and with the content being so extreme, the film for a time was regarded as an urban legend. Another film that Scully shot involved a pair of cousins, 10-year-old Queenie and 11-year-old Daisy, different from and no relation to the girl of the same name in Daisy's destruction. The preteen girls were approached by Alvarez while they were hanging out at Centrio Mall, Cagayan de Oro on September 19, 2014. After being treated to a restaurant meal, they were taken to Scully's home and kept there for 5 days, all the while being filmed as they were forced to perform one depraved sexual act after another. On their first night with Scully, he filmed them while they were being bathed by Alvarez. The next morning, he made them dig a hole in the backyard with their bare hands while they had no idea that Scully had intended for the hole to be their gravesite, and Daisy and Queenie would continue doing this for the rest of their ordeal. Scully undressed the girls and filmed and photographed them as they kissed each other and performed oral sex on him. During one instance, one of Scully's accomplices covered Daisy's head with a pillow to muffle her screams as he continuously raped and abused her. On their fifth day of captivity, Daisy and Queenie were able to escape through a door that had been left ajar while Scully was out for an errand. The girls ran to the nearby market where their parents worked and proceeded to alert the local authorities. This led to Alvarez getting arrested by Cagayan de Oro police in Apovel Subdivision, Barangay Bulua. Some news reports claim that the escape of the cousins was aided by Alvarez, who felt remorse upon seeing Scully fitting them with chains and dog collars, so she set them free, led them out the back door, and told them to call the police. Scully's rental home was raided, but it was too late by the time the police got there, as Scully and Margalio had already fled. By then, Scully's film Daisy's Destruction had already gained so much traction among European viewers that it had been shared and uploaded even to the surface web. Philippine authorities, though, still hadn't connected Scully to the film. Given the sickening nature of Daisy's destruction, it didn't take long before authorities in other countries also picked it up. The Netherlands launched an investigation because many initially believed that the man in the film was speaking Dutch, until authorities in English-speaking countries like Australia, England, the United States, and the Philippines looked into the video and determined that the man in it had an Australian accent. The Australian police began compiling a list of cases that involved pedophilia and child pornography. And one suspect who seemed to fit the bill the most was Peter Scully, but to their knowledge, he had disappeared in 2011 and hadn't been seen since then. It was initially believed that Scully had fled to Malaysia. It was theorized, however, that with the Philippines being one of the top producers of child pornography in the world, a country known for predators exploiting poverty and turning children into commodities, that the children in Daisy's destruction might be Filipino orphans, and if they were, the video might have been shot in the Philippines, as it would be nearly impossible to bring them out of the country. The two masked women in the video also spoke in understandable yet broken English, all of which led investigators to believe that they, like their victims, were actually Filipinos. All evidence now pointed to Scully being in the Philippines, particularly in a city called Malaybalay in the province of Bukidnon in north-central Mindanao. There, the local police, joined by the Philippine National Bureau of Investigation's Anti-Human Trafficking Division, launched a search for the three children in Daisy's destruction, and they managed to locate Liza, as well as Daisy herself, who was already a toddler at this point. They were living together on the streets of Malaybalay, and both had sustained horrific injuries from their time with Scully. Daisy, in particular, was said to have injuries that were so severe, doctors thought it would leave long-lasting, if not permanent, physical damage to her body. Unfortunately, Cindy, the other child in Daisy's destruction, wasn't with Liza and Daisy. By then, Carmi Ann Alvarez was already working with the local police in exchange for a lighter sentence. According to her, Scully had promised Cindy's impoverished parents that he would take care of their daughter and provide her with education and a chance at a better life. But he ended up accidentally strangling her to death, an incident that Alvarez claimed Scully also had on tape. Cindy's skeleton would later be found buried underneath the floorboards of a house that Scully had been renting in Surigao City, Surigao del Norte. Authorities from all around the world, particularly the Netherlands, Australia, and the Philippines, continued working together in search of Scully, whose case had become so infamous that barriers that traditionally hampered international investigations completely disappeared because every detective had one goal in mind, and that was to put the Australian pedophile behind bars before he could hurt more children. Scully had managed to hide his digital tracks well, but on February 20, 2015, after a 2-year manhunt, he was finally tracked down to a house in Malaybalay City. He was arrested under 6 outstanding warrants, all of which were related to the abduction and sexual abuse of the cousins Daisy and Queenie, and the arrest was just in time as he was said to have just been negotiating with potential buyers for footage of him murdering one of the children that he was still holding captive. On June 2, 2015, almost 4 months after his arrest, Scully faced the court in the Philippines for the first time to enter a plea against the accusation that he had operated an international pedophile ring between 2011 and 2014. A total of 75 charges were ultimately filed against him, including multiple counts of sexual abuse, cyber sex, torture, rape, syndicated child pornography, human trafficking, and murder. Unfortunately, in October 2015, a fire broke out in the evidence room that contained key evidence against Scully, including memory cards, chains, and the camera that he was said to have used when filming his victims, as well as computer logs that proved he was the one behind Daisy's destruction. Many believe that Scully had bribed a local police officer to intentionally set the room on fire, and it succeeded in destroying almost all the crucial evidence that the prosecutors had, particularly the computer logs, though it has never been proven that it was a deliberate act of arson. While the bulk of the remaining evidence against Scully involved cousins Daisy and Queenie, local authorities also found out that he had played a pivotal role in the abuse of another underage girl. This had taken place in 2011 after Scully's escape from Australia. At the time, Scully was staying at the Kingston Lodge, a boarding house in Cagayan de Oro, Mindanao, where he met an impoverished local woman named Arlene Loyola. Like with all the other parents, Scully promised Loyola that he would provide her 8-year-old daughter with education and food. Loyola gratefully accepted, but almost 2 weeks later, she was overcome with remorse and asked for her daughter back. The girl, however, was barely recognizable, having spent days being repeatedly drugged, beaten, and raped by Scully. Unfortunately, this incident went unreported back then. According to the prosecution, they still had enough evidence despite the fire to lock Scully up for life. Scully had initially indicated remorse over his actions while imprisoned in Cagayan de Oro before his arraignment, but he exhibited none of this guilt in court and pleaded not guilty to all charges against him. He even claimed to just be a passive accomplice in all the crimes, with Carmian Alvarez supposedly being the active participant. While preparations for Scully's trial were ongoing, law enforcement in both Australia and the Philippines continued to work on his case in an attempt to also bring charges against Scully's clients. This proved to be tricky, especially since those who had viewed his films on the dark web had hidden their digital tracks well. They did manage to identify some of them though, including an Australian national who allegedly offered Scully 2,500 Australian dollars or around 91,000 pesos for the opportunity to rape a 13-year-old girl. Back in the Philippines, the media noted that Scully had a relaxed attitude toward his arrest and impending trial. He was also very demanding while he was in jail, asking for special meals, a mobile phone, and electric fan, and twice weekly visits from his legal counsel, to the point where his attorney, Alejandro Jose Palugna, after 7 months dropped him as a client out of exasperation. Scully conducted interviews with journalists, even telling a program called 60 Minutes Australia, in what is probably now his most infamous interview, that he was writing in jail a tell-all memoir about his experience. When pressed by interviewer Tara Brown for other details, such as why he could have done all that he did, Scully only kept replying that it will all be in the book. If there was anything in his childhood, however, it could be that he was sexually abused growing up by a priest in Victoria, Australia, something that he told his lawyers about, and this could have been a major contributor to his becoming a sadistic pedophile rapist. On June 14, 2018, 3 years after his arrest, 55-year-old Peter Gerard Scully was convicted of his charges by the Cagayan de Oro Regional Trial Court, Branch 37. In his 70-page decision, presiding judge Jose Escobedo found him guilty of 1 count of qualified human trafficking and 5 counts of rape. His former accomplice, Carmian Alvarez, was also convicted of 1 count of qualified human trafficking. For abducting, torturing, and sexually abusing underage girls in Mindanao before selling their videos on the dark web, Scully and Alvarez were both sentenced to life imprisonment and ordered to pay 5 million pesos in damages. On top of this, Scully was handed a prison term of 30 years to 49 years and 7 months for his 5 rape charges. The prosecution was far from satisfied, though, as they had initially called for the reintroduction of the death penalty, which the Philippines had abolished in 2006. Chief Prosecutor Jaime Umpa noted that Scully's was one of the most shocking cases of child abuse and trafficking that officials both in the Philippines and abroad had ever seen. He further noted that under the country's laws, Scully could be released after serving 30 years in prison and then deported to Australia despite receiving the maximum sentence of life imprisonment. In the end, however, the court found no cause to bring back the death penalty. The absence of capital punishment wasn't the only point of contention in Scully's case. In March 2018, news broke in Australia that the Attorney General's department had been giving Scully 500,000 Australian dollars or 18.6 million pesos to pay his defense counsel in the Philippines. These funds were part of a program called the Serious Criminal Matters Scheme, which Scully had successfully applied for and gave him access to taxpayer money for his legal needs. This was criticized across Australia, with Glenn Hulley, a former Australian police officer now working as a pedophile hunter in Southeast Asia, calling it a disgraceful decision. He said that Scully's offenses were some of the worst that he had ever encountered, which made it embarrassing that the Australian government had deliberately chosen to fund his legal defense. In response to this, the Attorney General issued a public statement saying that the scheme would be put under review, effectively cutting off Scully's government funding. Long after this decision, though, controversy remained as to why Scully's application was approved in the first place, given the severity of his crimes. Lizelle Margallo, who had 16 pending warrants of arrest, was apprehended on January 25, 2017 as she was walking on the shoreline of the resort island of Malapascua in Cebu. The 23-year-old had been using the alias Gina Carpio, nicknamed Shannon, the supposed wife of a French software millionaire. She had been living in a high-end condo in Cebu City and posting glamorous photos of herself on her Shannon Carpio Facebook profile. Most shockingly, she had apparently been continuing Scully's illegal business and was roaming around provinces looking for potential victims. Whether it was on her own or as directed by Scully from prison has yet to be proven. She was brought back to Cagayan de Oro for detention, presented to Judge Escobedo of Regional Trial Court Branch 37, who will hear her cases, and as of this recording, is still awaiting trial. Matthew David Graham, also known as Lux, was arrested by Australian police in August 2014 inside his home in Melbourne. The then 23-year-old administrator of the dark website Hurt to the Core was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Other accomplices and suspects connected to Scully, also charged with child abuse and qualified trafficking, include Christian Johan Rausch, or in some articles Roth, Marshall Ruskin, Haniel Cayetano de Oliveira, Maria Dorothea Chia Chi, or in some articles Althea Chia, and Alexander Lau. Rausch and Ruskin, a German and an American respectively, were allegedly two of Scully's clients identified by a victim. De Oliveira, a Brazilian doctor and friend of Scully, reportedly sent money to fund Scully's child pornography business, and Filipinos Chi and Lau allegedly were used by De Oliveira to send the funds through money remittance centers. Lau had been arrested in November 2016 in Opol, Misamis Oriental, while Chi, who also allegedly helped recruit children for Scully, was arrested in February 2017 in Barangay 18, Cagayan de Oro. As of this recording, Chi is facing 4 counts of qualified human trafficking charges and is being held at the city jail in Barangay Lumbia, Cagayan de Oro, while Rausch, Ruskin, and De Oliveira are still being hunted down by local and international authorities. Scully's victims in the Philippines number at least 11 children accounted for by the NBI, though he and his cohorts may have also victimized minors in other parts of the country. Scully remains, as of this recording, serving his life sentence in the Philippines while still facing at least 69 other charges. In April 2021, American reality television star Josh Duggar was arrested by the US Marshal Service for possession of child pornography, and one of the videos he was allegedly in possession of was Daisy's destruction. Peter Scully may no longer be committing any crimes, but the horrific content he produced, unfortunately, might remain on the internet forever for other pedophiles like Duggar to find. Thank you for listening to Stories After Dark, a Spotify exclusive powered by Anchor. This story was co-written by Kayla De Leon and was narrated and produced by me, Derek. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Stay tuned next week for a new episode, and to make sure you're updated about the show, please follow Stories After Dark on your Spotify app as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to see the references used for this episode, suggest cases, send personal stories, or further support the show, you can go to storiesafterdark.ph for more information. All of the links are in the episode description.